Well, happy New Year's on this beautiful, beautiful December 31st, 2025. Happy New Year's to all the family of God out there. To our Box 2 Radio family, welcome in on this morning that the Lord has made. This is the day that He has made just for you. Amen. He's made it for you. He's made it for you this morning, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. This is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, let me just declare over your life, He is more than enough, my friend. He is more than enough, beloved. This is a day that Jesus turns it around and makes a way where there seems to be no way. If you don't know Him, today is the day to know Him. With the doctor report, let me just tell you, He is greater, He is bigger, and He is mightier. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're praying for you and your family today. We're praying for your churches. We're praying for your new year, that it may be prosperous in spirit, prosperous in soul, prosperous in health, prosperous in finances, and that your walk with Christ and your Christ-likeness will be formed more and more and more into the likeness of who He is. Praying for you guys today in 91.1 Highsville, 98.3 Owensboro, and 91.5 Litchfield-Hardinsburg. Also, we love our app listeners. For those who are listening via the Box 2 Radio app, you can go to Tithely, T-I-T-H-E-L-Y, church app, and then just search Box 2 Network, and then there we are. And on our app, if you don't have it, we do have several different avenues for you to use that app. We got a prayer wall. We've got podcasts. We've got prayer. We've got a giving link if you want to give. We have a listen live link, the contact link. We have events for the community. So we have a lot of stuff that goes on that app. It's very interactive, and we'd love for you to engage with us through the app. Again, download Tithely, T-I-T-H-E-L-Y, church app, and then you can search the Box 2 Network. And then, boom, there we are. Amen. If you want to engage with the broadcast this morning, and we love engagement, we love when you guys get involved, we love whenever you all interact. It's a blessing to us. 270-230-6337. Again, 270-230-6337 is a number you text. We love the Bible questions. We love the testimonies. We love the prayer request. We love the communication. We love the contact. We love that personal connection with the Box 2 Radio family, and we want to increase that coming up in the new year, and we want to engage with you more and more throughout the day. If you have a prayer request, or if you have maybe just a Bible question that arises, don't be afraid to text us, 270-230-6337. For those part of Bethel Fellowship tonight, don't forget we do not have service here. We are take a time to go and visit another church, visit a church in your community, go and spend some time with family on that last night of the new year. I would say odds are I'm not staying up till 12. That's my really good guess. But Bethel Fellowship, go and unite with some community churches. Go and be a part of some other watch night services. Go and be in fellowship with the saints tonight. And then a couple more announcements. Attending the Fire Revival Service with Bishop Lance Johnson will be Wednesday, January 21st, 2025. I'm going to have to fix the graphic on social media. That was completely my fault. Put the wrong date and the wrong year. And that was all me. So I have to fix that today. It's on my list.
It's really easy to do, though.
I hope so. January 21st and 25th. 21st of 2026. I even did it on my notes right here. It's January 21st, 2026, 6:30 p.m., attending the Fire Revival Service. And then the following night is our men's gathering with Bishop Lance as well. And that's going to start at 6 o'clock p.m. with a chili potluck. So come on out and be with us here those two nights here at Bethel Fellowship. And I know you will not leave empty. You will leave overflowing with the presence and the glory of God. Amen. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this New Year's Eve?
Amen. I'm still really excited for what the Lord has in store. I'm trying to focus on that because there's a lot of other things you can focus on. I mean, I feel like in our world right now and just in the spirit, I think you can sense some things heating up for the darkness heating up, I guess. We talked about that yesterday in prayer, but also we have to choose not to dwell on that. So that's what I'm trying to do is really looking at what the Lord is doing and not so much of what the enemy is doing.
Amen.
But not being ignorant to what the enemy is doing, if that makes sense.
Eyes on Jesus. Yeah. A couple other announcements that's more long-term, but I want to get them out there before the next year. We have March 14th. Go ahead and put on your calendar, and our next regional youth rally is going to be up here. We want to welcome all youth groups to come out and be a part of that. We got a lot more details coming up here soon for that. And then also in February, we got some dates to pin down in February and possibly April as well. Some of you guys love him, and we love him dearly. He's become a dear part of our lives. But Brother Waleed Zaru, he has become a really dear friend of the radio station and to the me and Hannah and our families. And I think he's going to be coming down and joining us sometimes in February with some evangelism training. And so we're trying to pinpoint the date, but it looks like it's going to work out. We just got to get the dates confirmed. And he'll be spending a weekend with us. And that Saturday, we'll be doing some morning and probably some evening sessions of just evangelism training, evangelism equipping, how to share the gospel. And I know I was so encouraged last night with our elders meeting and had a really great one last night talking about 2026 and the focus of the new year. And really, it was in complete agreement. We had a lot of other goals and details and, you know, prayer requests and what we're pushing for in the new years and how we can serve the body of Christ here better and how we can pursue in one mind, one accord, and from the radio to the school to projects, to the church, the outreach, everything. We talked about it in fullness last night, and it was just a really great meeting we had. But the number one consensus that we will focus on this year is the gospel, and that was across the board. That is going to be the center. We're going to go back to the cross in so many different ways, and not saying every message will be a salvation message, but it's going to point to the gospel. Like we're going to be really, really centered on the gospel next year. We're going to be what we would call gospel intentional church. Like it's going to be an intentional gospel church. It's a centerpiece of what we're doing, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can never leave that. What good is it if you speak in tongues every single second of a day, but don't ever share the gospel or preach the gospel or the gospel's activated in your life and remind us of the goodness of Jesus. And there's been many surveys and many conversations had where the bulk of the American church could not tell you the gospel. And that should be a startling wake-up call to us as preachers and teachers, especially guys, and Sunday school teachers and all those guys and gals. We've got to make sure our people know the gospel. And we got to make sure the gospel's centerpiece. And you want to put a log on the fire of burning for him, always remind yourself of what he's done for you on the cross. And I said last night, I said, every time I see a cross, not in an idle way or anything like that, but every time I want to have a tear coming down my face in gratitude and overwhelming because I know who I was and I know that I was in the way of darkness and I was in the kingdom of darkness. But as Colossians tells me, he ripped me out of the kingdom of darkness. He did that. I didn't do that. He did that. And he placed me in the kingdom of his beloved son. And so I want that gospel. And that's going to be one of the greatest pushes of this radio station. It'll be one of the greatest pushes of the church, of the school. Every single facet of ministry here at Bethel Fellowship will be pushing to the gospel. And I'm not saying that does not mean everything's like just we're going to preach salvation message. No, like we need to know the gospel.
The depth of it.
And Paul Washer, and he does tremendous teaching and preaching on the gospel, missionary. But he had said one time, one of my favorite quotes he ever had was, he said, one day you will know the ins and outs and everything about eschatology. He said, you'll know it all. He said, we'll know when the rapture happened. We'll know how it happened. We know exactly what the one world order was. We'll know what that big toe out of the, we know what one of the toes are out of the statues and who's the anti. We'll know it all. But he said, there will never be a time when we fully comprehend the depth of the greatness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm. He said, it's so infinite of the goodness of God that what he displayed on the cross and did for us through his resurrection. And I want to always hold that so dear in our hearts and central to our teachings. We'll be teaching a lot. We'll teach gifts. We'll teach spiritual warfare. But all that comes back to the gospel. And it's all. And the gospel is not just the cross. The gospel is the birth, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the coming back, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came to make all things new. And his kingdom, there will be no end. Mm. And so the gospel is going to be the centerpiece of this year for us. And it was so encouraging to leave just with that really great unity of that's going to be the driving force of every ministry, every packet of food we give out, every clothing that we can distribute through the Remnant store, every kid we have come through the school, every listener we have on the radio, every time we have to do a maintenance project or every time we got to fix a parking lot, it's all for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for souls to know him and for our souls and our lives to be transformed into his likeness. And that one day we will be established with him forevermore in a kingdom that will have no end.
Amen.
So it's going to be a push for us this year. And so March 14th, come out and be with us. And then sometimes in February, we're going to have a lot more details coming up on that evangelism training, but we're wanting to, you know, how many people have family members that are not born again? And we really don't know how to talk to them so many times. Like, I don't know if I'm, or maybe it's just me, but I know even as a preacher, sometimes I'm like, man, how do I communicate with them? How do I get the gospel to them?
It is hard, especially when you have nothing in common anymore. Like, you find yourself more and more different than maybe your lost family members. And I think that's maybe one of the biggest things is finding, even though I can't maybe find something in common ground, the Holy Spirit can, like, learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit to see what he wants us to say.
Yeah. And so we're going to be pushing. We're going to be, you know, we're getting Brother Waleed here to do some training and equipping. We'll have other people come in, and we'll do our part in helping too. But I'll never deceive. I'm slanted more towards pastoral work and that teaching type gifting, whereas there are those who are really gifted in the evangelism field, and I need to learn more too. And mm-hmm. so I'm bringing people in that can help me just as much as I'm hoping they're helping the body. Because I've got family members I'd like to share the gospel with. And I know that I hear from people all the time about, you know, their concern for their family members. But also alongside that, corresponding with that, so often I get, but I'm not really for sure how to talk to them. What do I say to them? And I know men of God like Waleed, and there's women of God that's just a tremendous evangelist and that can help us communicate this. So we want to make avenues for people to grow. And
Amen.
We've got some other areas that I'm really going to focus on this year of, we've talked about it, Brother Kidd and ourselves. We talked about it yesterday of ministerial development, like the next generation is just not there. And we're praying how, I don't want to be somebody who just comes on the radio and says, we've got this problem. I want to, by God's empowerment, wisdom, grace, and a light into my path, his word, I want to do something about it. Like, it's time we stop just talking about these problems and hoping that the next generation will take care of it. Like, we've got to do something. And
raise them up.
So I see this issue, and instead of just harking on the issue, I'm praying for God's wisdom how to redirect this issue. And let's start raising up young ones that are ready for the call and ready for the mission. And so what that looks like in the upcoming year, I don't know that. I just know that we're hungry to do something about it. And I'm not okay with sitting on the sidelines. So and I do know one thing. It's going to be about the gospel. Amen. All right. Weather today is high of 39, low of 29. It's a little bit warmer today. Still going to be a pretty day, partly cloudy. Memory verse of the week, Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name which is given under heaven. All right, so there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I'm still working on it. I did work on it. So one more time, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name given under heaven, which, oh man, I thought I had it. No, under among men by which we must be saved. I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it by the Sunday morning. I'm going to quote it. I'm going to say, all right, we did this memory verse. Here it is. I'm going to be ready. And so I've been practicing.
I need to try it before you say it, because I haven't read it. I haven't looked at the paper. But the meat of it is there's no other name and no other one that we must be saved. But it's just figuring out the wording.
It's figuring out. It is a tricky wording, too. Even when I was typing, I messed it up several times. But it's Acts chapter 4, verse 12, memory verse of the week. And then a quote of the, it's kind of a lengthy one, but I like it. It's A.W. Tozer, and it's a New Year's quote. He wrote, it's a New Year's quote. So, of all persons, the Christian should be best prepared for whatever the new year brings. He has dealt with life at its source. In Christ, he has disposed of thousands of enemies that other men must face alone and unprepared. He can face his tomorrow cheerful and unafraid, because yesterday he turned his feet into the waves of peace, and today he lives in God. The man who has made God his dwelling place will always have a safe habitation. I love that. That is a good one.
Oh, man. Awesome.
And our guest today is Todd Bailey, and evangelist and speaker. He's going to be on with us at 8:30, and Mr. Swift is making his way over today to be with us. So he had to finish up some work this morning before he came in. So good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, we are in Acts 5.
5:1.
Oh, it's been a long year. All right. No, just kidding. Tomorrow's the big
blame day. It on the year. Normally we blame it on Monday, but
you have big New Year's Eve plans, Hannah?
I don't actually. I don't know. We have a few options. We've had a few different options, and we were waiting to, so we haven't decided yet.
My option is sitting on my couch tonight.
That is also an option.
that option is really sounds good to me tonight.
It kind of sounds great too.
And so, amen. One listener, they have a wedding to go to.
Getting that, the new year started.
What would you do if, like, do you? What if you did it like to where you kissed the bride at 12 o'clock?
They probably will. Well,
if
I don't know
kiss
if everybody...
the bride. All right, so if your wedding starts before New Year's at 12, but you don't kiss the bride and announce them married until 12:01.
So, like, the whole rest of the wedding happens at a normal time?
Yeah, like, it's planned out so at 12 o'clock on the dot, you may kiss your bride. Does that mean they were married on 31st or the 1st?
I don't know. You'd be, like, one of those leap year.
How cool.
People.
That would be pretty cool. Somebody do that. Let's. Some listeners out there, you're not married yet and you want to get married, do that and see... what the government says about when you're actually married.
The problem is they probably don't want to stay up until or wait until New Year.
Miss Sierra said, I think it would be the first. I think it would be the first if you're not announced as husband and wife until the.
Yeah.
Like you kiss the bride at 12.
I think it would be New Year's
and
Day.
I'd like for the first time formally by the power invested in me by the Lord and the state of Kentucky or whatever we say.
And if you forget your anniversary. Then something's wrong with you.
I think that would be a pretty cool wedding.
If you forgot your anniversary date with that.
Like, think of how many fireworks are going off around the world for your wedding at that point. That would be a pretty cool wedding.
Well, someone get... Maybe they're getting ideas out there.
I'm trying to give you ideas. Like, I'm trying to help you. That would be a really cool wedding. Somebody do it, and I don't even care to officiate it, but you have to let me take a nap before... everybody thinks I'm crazy. I don't know if I can stay up to I mean, I went home last night and I was sitting there going, I got done with the meeting. I went home and I did some, did a few dishes and dried them. And I was putting up the dishes from dinner and wiping off the counters. And Heather was cleaning up the kids' room and I was holding the baby afterwards. And I was like, man, I am, it has to be 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And it was 9 o'clock. I mean, I'm like, I'm plumb, like, and I'm like, oh, this is the old age hitting right here. This is the 40 that's creeping upon me in a year. I got a year and a month and a half, and I'll be 40, and it's creeping, and my body's feeling it. So,
see, I was on the phone with like maybe four different people last night, and I never talk on the phone in the evenings usually. But it made the time go by fast because I said the opposite. I was like, it's already 10:30.
I was thinking, it was like, I thought I was doing the 12 o'clock thing when I looked at the clock and it was only 9. And I was like, 9:30. I'm like, I'm going to bed. So me and Ivy and Liam, we went on to sleep. And so it was a good night, though. It was a good night.
I think you can make it until midnight.
I'm going to have to drink some kind of energy drink or something.
I mean, have
like
you ever not done it? Like,
oh yeah, there's been a one or two Christmas, I mean New Year's Eve, that we just went on to bed, like,
and the kids just stay up.
Yeah, well, y'all do your thing, guys, we're going to sleep. You've seen one ball drop, you've seen all the New Year balls drop, like, it's just good to go at this point. We just roll with it. And so, all right, well, Acts 5 chapter 5 verse 1, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. So this is, again, what we have evidence of. They sold a piece of property. I don't know if they sold all of their property, but they did sell a piece of their property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? But after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down, breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. So Peter's kind of leading the charge here, and he's saying, why have you sowed this just to lie? Like, why are you holding back of this? When you kept it, it was yours, that's fine. But when you sowed it, it was at your disposal. It was your choice what to do with that money. Am I interpreting that right? Like, that's how I would read that, is that it's up to you then what to do with that money. And he said, you lied to the Holy Spirit. You've basically lied to the Holy Spirit and said, I'm giving it all, but I'm holding some back secretly. And I think this is like a really big portion of text. And we've not shied away from 4 and 5 here, but we've also been honest to say, I'm still not fully understanding the fullness of what these texts are teaching us. Cause like, you know, again, I'm going to go back to what I have said all the way back to Monday. I don't think it was just solely that I think if he had sold the property and he said, I'm going to give 50% to the Lord, the work of the Lord, and I'm going to do 50% I'm going to hold back 50% for the family. I'm not for sure Ananias is dead at that point, because he's being honest.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. Like, before you released it and then lied about it, it was yours still. Like, before you released it, like, you wouldn't have been judged for not giving it.
Mm-hmm.
But because you said that you gave before, because you released, you were said that you released it, but you were still holding on to it. That's why. Yeah. He's like, it would have been better for you just not to give at all.
MacArthur, in his notes, seems to think that, you know, he says this, keeping it back, some of the proceeds, this was not a sin in and of itself. However, they had promised, and MacArthur even thinks perhaps publicly, that they were giving the full amount received to the Lord. So it's like they made a public pledge or profession or, you know, like, we're doing this. And so Their outward sin was lying about how much they were giving to the church, but the deeper, more devastating sin was their spiritual hypocrisy based on selfishness. Hmm. And so that was kind of...
So that the proclamation of it had
something to do It was a thing like, we're going to give this or we're going to do this. And maybe there was even like a... I mean, we're going to be speculating some at this point, but maybe there was this like, they were just going around lying. Like, you know, like, say, you know, there's been times in share-a-thons or something like that, that, you know, I've pledged money and I struggled to get it in at times. Maybe something came up, something happened or something like that in the past. And I think along those lines, like, you know, people do that. Like, how many people pledge to give to a share-a-thon, not just ours, any share-a-thon, and then something happens or something comes up.
Or they forget about it.
Or they forget about it. I've done that too. Like in certain things, I'm going to, or not even a share-a-thon, you take it out, like I'd help somebody and then you just forget. I'm not for sure this is exactly what's happening here. I feel like with Ananias and Sapphira and this thing, I think there was something bigger going on at that moment. Like, this is where it's like grasping at straws because we wasn't there. And this moment from Acts 4:32 all the way to here, it just seems different. Like something different is happening here than the normal giving or the normal pledge drive or something like that.
Do you think? I don't know. I don't know if I can even word this right, what I'm thinking. I don't even know if I can get it out right now. But I'm just wondering about the difference being like, the presence of God that was there, like ooh, like the level of closeness that they were with the Lord and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and does that make sense? Like,
well, without a doubt, I think,
not that it makes it different, but as far as like whether we obey or not, but it almost reminds me of like whenever they messed with the glory of the Ark of the Covenant. Like,
I think without a doubt there was an increased measure of presence and glory.
Like a weightiness, and it's yeah, like such a lack of the fear of the Lord for that presence.
Yeah, I think,
I don't know,
for me, what I feel like is going on here is this is not somebody who, you know, I think there was this intentionality to what they were doing, if that makes sense. Like, I think that there was...
Because it does say later why Satan... Or it says why does Satan fill your heart, right?
Yeah, and, like, both of them are separate, yet they're pursuing kind of the same story. Like, it's intentional. Like, they're intentionally deceiving the church. And I feel like that's different from somebody who makes a pledge into a share-a-thon or... You know, even like Brother Tim had said the other day, you know, there's people that come into large sum of money. They said, when we get money, we're going to give so much to the church. Like, I think a lot of times people who do that kind of stuff, and even people who pledge into the radio station or pledge into a capital drive for like a building or something like that for a church, but yet can't really meet that. I think their hearts were good intention. And I don't think they meant to be deceptive or hypocrisy. Or I think maybe they got excited in the moment. Oh, we're going to, and then they realize I can't give that. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know if I can, or I don't even have it. Like, does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
I don't think they were intentionally just trying to be hypocritical or prideful or trying to, but I feel like Ananias and Sapphira was.
Yeah.
I feel like there was this intentional deception, manipulation, and Satan had filled their heart. Like, when somebody is, And again, I'm just trying to parallel this with some relevant modern day issue. Like, somebody gets really into, like, I'm going to go back to a share-a-thon because that's something we can all relate to on the radio. Gets really into the share-a-thon and the Spirit of God starts to move and just, oh, everybody else is giving. I'm going to give too. Like, there's nothing like in there. Like, Satan's filled their heart. Like, I'm going to deceive these guys. I'm going to manipulate them. I'm going to tell them they get all this money and they're going to get nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that would be maybe more Ananias and Sapphira if they're calling in, like, and a radio station's trying to, you know, ask for help to continue forth. And somebody's like, I'm going to manipulate these guys. I'm going to make them think they got their goal. And I'm going to tell them I'm going to give them $5,000, but I'm really just pulling their chain and I'm making a mockery.
The hard thing is, though, that I think about with this is there are people who do those things in the world today.
Yeah.
Like, there's people who do the equivalent of this or maybe worse.
and they're not
the church
falling over dead.
And they're not getting killed.
That is something I've always wondered about. Like, I do think there was a different, how do I want to say this? This was the beginning of the church. And it was almost like a precedent was being set. But I have asked that same question, like, why does it seem like Ananias Sapphira took a shot that nobody else did? Like, what did they do? Because, again, we just have this part. We don't have the beginning. We don't have what happened whenever they pledged it. They didn't have – we don't have any of that. We just have what happens in this room where they die. And we do know that some people who are misusing the Lord's Supper in Corinth, they're dying. But, you know, the guy who was in a inappropriate relationship with his stepmother, mother-in-law, whichever one you want to interpret that in the Greek, I don't think he died. Or so why did Ananias and Sapphira, why did they take such a heavy shot here?
Do you think this is a kind of a deep question, and it would have to be different for every situation, obviously. But do you think that this still happens today for people who just die unexpectedly, that are leaders and have fallen greatly?
You know, I think that, you know, there's been men that have died behind a pulpit, mm-hmm. and some of them, I would say, are very godly men. Some of them maybe not. And is that the judgment of God? I'm not going to be anywhere touching that. Like, it could be, could not be.
We don't know for sure, but I mean, it is scriptural. So that's why it's like, I don't know. I think it's dangerous to say like that it was different. Like, we know God isn't different. Like, mm-hmm. his character isn't different then as it is now. Yeah. So that could happen still today.
Yeah.
But it's just mind-blowing that we don't see it happening as often, because there's more and more people doing things like this that we see every day. Like, we hear things and we see things every day. But I don't know. It almost makes me also think about, like, the people who are believers, like apostates, versus the ones who are just heathens, because it does seem like he deals with the apostate,
yeah,
or the one who's been born again differently than the heathens.
See, for me, and to push along with that, I think it's this story is talking a lot about the money issue, mm-hmm. but I do think there's something deeper,
yeah,
like
than just what they did.
I'm going to go back to the intentional deception, deceiving, and manipulation of the church. If I would have to dive deeper, and again, this is where Bible study for me, it gets dangerous, because we are going to have to insert some stuff, like trying to think through this. For me, and this is me and me only, so do not take this as gospel truth. Do not think I'm trying to bring some kind of revelation, or I've got some kind of no angel visit me in the night to tell me this happened, okay? But I feel like probably what's happening is this is different than somebody who makes a pledge out of goodwill or something like that and just can't meet it. This is somebody, I believe, from the start, they were looking to defraud the church.
Yeah.
Because I think that they were looking to partake of the blessings of the church, because at this time when people who were giving were still receiving back. So for me, I wouldn't be surprised if this was almost some kind of welfare fraud, like equivalent to us, like where we're like giving, but we're only giving half, but yet we're looking for full comebacks. So they're wanting to withhold this from the church, but yet they're still wanting to take all from the church.
Yeah.
And it's almost like this hypocrisy, this lukewarmness, this apathy. Like, we're only going to give you half, but we want all. Mm. And it was like a defrauding of the church. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious. I'm not saying that's the truth. I'm not saying anything like that. But when people would sow into the church at the apostles' feet, then the church would turn around and distribute those funds among all the people. Mm-hmm. So if Hannah sowed a piece of property, and if I'm understanding all this correctly, and we're still looking into this because these last two chapters have really dove a lot of interest in a lot of people. Then once Hannah sowed all that she had and gave it to the apostles' feet to the church, then the church then returned back and took care of those people. Took care of the hungry, took care of the needy,
yeah.
but also took care of them, because if they're giving all that they had to the church is to distribute the needs among all those.
They now become one of the needy ones.
That's what I'm taking a stab at. And it was like this intentional conspiracy, manipulation. It's fraud.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to keep this part over here so that we can have this much to live off of, but then we're going to give you this, but we expect this in return. So now I've got my pocket over here that's hidden from everybody, and then I want the church to take care of me as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something? Mm-hmm. I know we all, I'm kind of coming halfway into this, but I'm just saying, like, parallels with Judas, because there's always the feeling of the heart. Because mm-hmm. you go back to the scripture, it says the love of money is the root of all evil, right? I mean, we all can adhere to that. We all know we have to have money, but it's the love of it that just, it's almost kind of like it filled their hearts, because it said Satan filled their hearts. And then with Judas, he said Satan entered his heart. So we're talking about people who were supposedly believers, right? I mean, Ananias and Sapphira. And Judas was called by God. He was a disciple. So there's something with the feeling of the heart. And I believe it come back to the place where Judas did the same thing when he sold Jesus out. He did it for the 30 pieces of silver, right?
That is a good point, too.
They sold out the Lord because their hearts were filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the love of money. And I think that's a dangerous place.
The whole time I've been thinking about, like, the heart, because, and I know we like to stray away from it because there's so many, like, bad theology about the heart.
Yeah.
Or bad ideas about that aren't biblical, but, like, I was thinking about David, too, and the sins that he committed, and he did lose a son. God took away his son, but his heart was never filled with Satan. Like, even though he sinned against God and sinned against other people, it's not the same type of sin. But then I was thinking about that. Like, do we see that it says that Satan fills anybody else's heart throughout Scripture? Just those two. So is that the key here of why the punishment was? Now, with Judas, it was different because it did say Satan entered
the heart.
Have we looked at the difference between Luke, those two words before?
Luke 22:6.
Or if they're the same? I don't think we have yet. But I do wonder about that. Like, if that's a significance of when Satan fills the heart, that the judgment is different than some of these people that we see doing things, similar things. But we know that different people can do different behaviors, but their hearts can be different.
Because it says in Luke 22:3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And that's when he went to the priest and captains, right before that. And I think that's the same thing as what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They were going to Peter, wasn't it? Was it Peter?
The church.
Yeah. And they lied. And but at that point, it was like Satan had filled their hearts.
And that... what would also be a betrayal. Like, both of those are betrayals of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot more questions that could be unpacked around this. Was Ananias and Sapphira actually saved? I know I have my opinions about if they were true believers or not.
Yeah.
But that's a big discussion. And again, you all know me. I don't do a lot of opinions. I try not to, at least. Sometimes you can't help it because of texts like this. My take is that they were not true believers. I think they may have been with the church, but I don't think they were of the church. I think just like Judas was with the disciples, and he even participated in the same things the disciples did, all the way back to John 6, he was called the devil. And so I think this was an aspect of those trying to defraud, maybe take the accolades of the church, maybe take the celebration of the church. Maybe they wanted to rise in notoriety. Maybe they wanted to defraud and get through the rewards or the money are taken care of while keeping aside over there. There's so many different avenues that this could have happened, but I think ultimately this does have to come back, and you can go all the way, you know, because the next portion of text is like, you know, Sapphira comes in there, she lies. I'm gonna paraphrase these verses a little bit. And then basically Peter says, hey, the feet of the guys who drug your husband out is at the door for you, and then she passes away. And then they drag her out too. So this is not a coincidence. Some has even said that Sapphira died from guilt or shock.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But I don't think that's true, because that I don't believe in coincidence. So yeah. I believe that when Peter calls it out, like, the feet of those who drug your husbands out is here for you too, and then she passes. Died like, that's there. Pretty...
Yeah.
That's
he,
not
he
shock.
He called it out before it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the very next thing, and we won't get into this, but what happens? Fear hits the church, and great revival breaks out. And I think ultimately, regardless of all the details that happened with Ananias' fire, why, when, what, all these things that we could always unpack and dialogue about, it was ultimately about God protecting the purity of the church and the church itself.
Yeah.
He said, you're not going to mess with this.
Yeah, and that's what I've been thinking about.
That's the ultimate principle, is God was protecting the purity of the church.
Because he can see the end from the beginning, and his ways, like, he is totally able to take out anybody. He gives and he takes away. He can take anybody out when he wants to, and he sees what we don't see. He knows the future. So, like, that's what I've been thinking about too, is like, to protect the purity, he has to make decisions. Like,
yeah. And I think there's,
and we can't, if we question it, it bothers us, because we like to think about, like, if it's fair or not. Like, how is it fair for that to happen to them, but it doesn't happen to these other people? But, like, it doesn't matter what we think is fair. Like, God, no. God, the scripture about he balances the scales, and he is completely just. Like, we are, I think we just struggle to understand, but he knows all.
Yeah. And, again, this is not somebody who makes a pledge to a share-a-thon or something like that, and it takes them 3 or 4 months to get the money. And, like,
no,
that's not it. This would be more along the lines, somebody stands up in your church on Sunday morning and tells everybody they lie and deceive, and they manipulate, and they conspire in their own heart against the Holy Spirit to lead men astray, to give them accolades, to give them notoriety, maybe to give them some kind of reward. And they're doing it to the church, and they're going to defraud or take away from the church. Yeah. They're messing with the purity of the church. And I think that's whenever fear, and this is where this is what happens when the fear of the Lord leads the house of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Ananias' fire was filled by Satan, but they'd also seem like they weren't fearful to conspire and lie. And after this, it seems like the church pretty much was. Like, boys, like, and girls, did you see what just happened?
Like, it was an example. It was an example for us and for them of not to do that again.
So, okay. I know you're going back. So you don't think Ananias and Sapphira were saved?
I do not.
Okay. So did they not receive discipline and stuff like that?
From who?
I mean, wasn't they... Because it says in 4:32 that was all those that was there were believers.
Yeah.
So did they come later, or were they there? That's why I'm guessing, I'm asking.
Yeah. Well, okay. So verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was his own. Not but that they had everything in common. One of the things that we're marking is no one said that any of the things that they belonged to him was his own.
Yeah.
That was what was happening in the believers' hearts. And if you go down to Barnabas, Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, a Levite, he sold a field belonging to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He's not even thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
But a man named Ananias, it seems like that but's a conjunction, that's shifting gears to say there's Barnabas. He's a true believer.
Yeah.
But now there's a man named Ananias who's trying to say they're doing it.
Yeah.
But they're not a true believer.
I'm just wondering, like, how they could lie to the Holy Spirit if they didn't know him.
Well, anybody could lie to the Holy Spirit, though.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
I'm just saying we for all them to know.
We all know the Holy Spirit. I mean, Holy Spirit's, even Hitler, Holy Spirit was involved in his life to a certain point. Yeah. There's what we would call common grace, that Hitler and Stalin and the most infamous people there was that did horrific things, the Holy Spirit was still involved in their life to say, you're awful, but it's still this, you're not as bad as you could be. Like, there is a common grace that every single person does encounter somewhat the Holy Spirit in their life.
I got you.
And that would be a very theological persuasion that Arminian and Calvin both would adhere to. Any camp you are, that the Holy Spirit is involved in every single person's life in this world. But you got to get into, like, as Christians, we're indwelled, we're empowered, yeah. We're endued. But
that's the comforter. But I'm just saying, I guess, like, why would they be going to give this?
Yeah.
Why would they be going to give to the church if they wasn't? There's something in their heart. So, you know, I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I would go with, though, I don't think you have to be a Christian to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I think blaspheming the Holy Ghost would be not being.
Rejection. Yeah.
It would. You would be able to do something to offend the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
As that, so I think Ananias and Sapphira would be able to offend the Holy Spirit and lie to him.
And when we see the, I think coming, like, deceiving the church and trying to plot evil against the church is part of it, because the story of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit was the Pharisees coming against the work of the gospel.
Yeah.
Because they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit when the work of the ministry was happening, and they were trying to stop it.
Yeah.
By blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And they actually were trying to deceive people too, because they were trying to get others to believe that Jesus was working from being the devil. Like, yeah. He was a devil.
And I could even feel like this is the Lord's way of showing those that Ananias and Sapphira wasn't part of the true church, even though they were around the true church. And I think this goes to me, yeah. Hebrews chapter 6, is that, you know, Ananias and Sapphira probably did participate in the church activities. They probably did. They could even have been baptized. But there was something different, because whenever it says there was a man named Barnabas, he did the right thing. But then there was a man named Ananias who, by his wife's knowledge, consented or conspired to lie and to say this, basically say, hey, we're part of this church. But yet they weren't. They were wolves.
And
sheep clothing. They were.
That came to me earlier,
there was
too.
Like these devils amongst them, and it was God's way of illuminating to the church, these are not of us.
Yeah, yeah. And to keep an eye out for ones yeah. like this.
When I say they weren't truly born again, that does not mean that I don't think they were hanging out with the church yeah. or a part of the church. I just think that in theology we teach the universal church and then the true church.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
anybody can say they're a part of the church.
I used to think that Judas wasn't born again, but I think through some scripture we read the other day really got me thinking about, mm-hmm. rethinking about that.
So in the KJV, can we go? I'm not sure. Trying to stay on this, but what's the word for ghost? Because it says in the KJV that he gave up the ghost. Does that just mean his breath?
His life.
Which verse?
It's in the KJV, Acts 5:5.
Okay. So, gave up the ghost.
Why would it say
it's
that?
It's just to expire, give, yield up the ghost, which basically would mean.
Yeah.
Now,
that could be misleading. That's what
I'm saying.
All
right. So, this is where I want to be. I'm going to try to handle this text, because this is probably one of the places. I have to handle this really carefully. I think ghost is not always a good translation of this word.
Yeah.
I think it's spirit. I don't think I'm a ghost.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't think you're a ghost. I don't think you have a ghost. I think that was how they would have interpreted the word spirit as an yeah. inner man, the spirit.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why the KJV uses that word so much, the ghost.
Yeah.
Because in that medieval time, you know, per se, that mid-century, that 1600s, 1500s, it was a time of that language that was used. You probably wouldn't go around saying my spirit. You would say my ghost. This yeah. this inner spiritual part of you, yeah. they would have called a ghost. We call spirit. Like,
I've heard people still say give up the ghost.
Yeah, and ghost. I'm okay with it. Like, we understand. Now, your common person, like, that has no availing to the church or under, like, if I just go up to somebody that has no idea about the Bible or Jesus and I say,
ghost.
I gave up the ghost as a Christian, like, oh, Casper, just come out of him.
Yeah,
like, you know, I like the interpretation, and I think it's probably a faithful one to the text of the Spirit. He gave up his gave up the Spirit. And nice hearing these words. Basically, gave up life because the Spirit is life. Whenever Adam got the breath of God breathed into him, it was pneuma breath. It's the Spirit of God being breathed into man that gives life. And when Jesus gave up the Spirit on the cross, it basically means he died.
Yes, that's like
the life, the breath.
That's when I've heard people use this, is just when somebody passes away.
And I think all that's going on there with Ananias is basically saying
he died.
He fell down and he died.
Yeah.
The life, the breath of God that was in his lungs left. And so that's how I would see that, the Spirit.
Interesting.
And then great fear came upon all of them who heard these things. There was a reverence. There was a holiness. There was, like, he ain't playing. Like, he ain't playing.
I'm not going to say this because I know this, I hate sometimes when my thoughts hit and it's like, uh-oh. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the church is really in a bad – I don't want to say a bad spot, but the church seems declining of the fear of God in the church. And I'm like, what would happen if something like this happened again? Would that bring back the fear of God back in the church? Like you were talking about. I don't know. But at the same time, people were like Aaron's saying, oh, goodness, I need to get real if I'm going to serve the Lord.
If something like this didn't bring back the fear of the Lord, then that's very
all
scary.
I know is this. If there's somebody that does something in sin and they get struck down in judgment, here's where my fear would be in the church today is that we wouldn't heed it. We would make some kind of excuse.
Yeah, we'd come up with some weird
lame. We would blame a heart attack
or
we would blame a medical thing. And this is where in the last days, knowledge will prevail and it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to intellectualize or make logic about everything, and we're missing what's really happening.
True.
We're trying to explain away stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, it may have been a heart attack. It could have been a stroke. But was it the Lord?
Yeah.
Was it the Lord doing it? And people don't want to talk like this because we don't want God to be that kind of God. But there is judgment, and we can't ignore this. And I think what we've done, I was listening to Matt Chandler. I'm starting his series, This is the Gospel, and it's about 8 or 9 sermons I'm going to work through over the next few days and then work through his book, The Explicit Gospel. And so I'm trying to work those two things at the same time. And he talks about that yesterday, just like how one of the biggest lies of our generation is just like we're always saying we're struggling or we're victims or we're this or something like that. But we never just say sin's the problem, period. Sin is the problem.
Yeah.
And we love sin. We embrace sin. We live in sin. But yet we always want to play the victim like, I'm just struggling. I can't help it. Like, no, we love sin. And we're continuing to sin. And that's what Jesus came to eradicate and destroy in our life and to give us newness of life. And to parallel that with what I'm trying to say here is we're always looking for something else fault. Like, it's, oh, they had a bad this or they had a bad heart. Maybe they were engaging in sin and judgment fell on them. Because there is active judgment and there is passive judgment. And what Christ did on the cross never eliminates judgment.
Yeah.
It eliminates wrath to those who believe, but to those who not believe, there's still judgment.
True.
And even as we learn from the Corinthian church, even those within the proclaiming Christian church, if they live in sin, Paul very clearly says, your abuse of the Lord's Supper has made some of you sick and even caused death among some of you. And so, like, this is the most prominent story of judgment in the New Testament, but it's not the only one.
Yeah.
And so, God doesn't do well with sin. And Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, the gospel does not make sin okay in your life to continue in. It actually is there to produce a newness of life. So as Romans 6 comes about, that we are dead to sin and alive to Christ. If you take the gospel as an excuse to continue in sin, you are trampling under the foot the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying you'll never sin. I'm not saying you'll never have a struggle. I'm not saying anything like that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you take it as an opportunity to continue in sin. So even if Ananias and Sapphira was born again, they were trampling of the foot because they intentionally they conspired. It was a well thought out plan with his wife. It wasn't like they just got caught up in themselves and like, oh my gosh, what do we do? I can't do this. Now I'm going to tell him I can't make this. But I'm going to tell him I paid it all because I don't want him to be mad at me. Like, Ananias knew exactly what he was doing because he told his wife. His wife knew the whole plan. There was a plan made.
Yeah.
And so that was, for me, even if he was born again, wherever you look at it, it's a rejection of Christ. It's a boom.
Yeah.
Now, there has been those, and y'all, I try to be fair, there has been the suggestion made that Ananias Sapphira was born again, and they did this, and it was God's mercy on them to keep them from losing their soul. This is the reason I don't agree with this. Satan had already filled their heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if the word Satan had filled their heart to cause to a lot of the Holy Spirit had not been there, maybe I would entertain that, but because Satan had filled their heart.
See, I see it as like more them. His mercy on the church from keeping the church from continuing to be harmed by them.
Yeah.
Not mercy on them.
Yeah.
It's just judgment on them.
For him to feel, it had to be no, there had to be no, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me, Aaron. To get past that, if they truly were believed, there was no way he could have filled their heart.
Well, it was giving Satan a foothold in the church. Like, it would have, if God didn't do anything, it's just giving Satan access to the church.
It would have been pride, manipulation, deception, all these things. And I do agree, it was the Lord's mercy upon the church. It was the Lord's grace. I'm going to protect my church. And this is where, if you're an unbeliever or an atheist or something out there, and somehow you're listening this morning, praise God, I love you. Jesus loves you, and he so loved you that he gave his son 2,000 years ago so that he can redeem your soul, because your soul will spend an eternity somewhere, and this is the day of salvation, okay? But it's one thing for you to just do your thing, but when you start messing with the church, that's God's bride.
Yeah.
And there will be a day when he stands up and stands up for his bride. And just because you've not been struck down yet or something like that, or just because everything's going good for you now, does not mean that one day God won't stand up for his bride. And I'm not saying you're going to end up like Ananias Sapphira. That's not, so don't say to me, you know, God, Aaron said on the radio, God's going to start taking people out. No, but I'm telling you, he will stand up for his bride.
Oh, yeah.
And there's coming a day when he's going to come and he's going to collect his bride, and wrath's going to be poured out on this earth.
Yeah.
And today is a day that you can make sure you're in the ark before it's shut. So whatever you're done, wherever you've gone, whatever you said, it's not too far.
Amen.
Today is still the day of salvation. If you're breathing, I still believe that God can redeem you. And today is the day. You do have a soul. You are going to spend an eternity somewhere. All the lies and all the deception and all these things that go around in the world today, they are just that. They're seducing spirits that want to convince you that you will not spend an eternity somewhere. There is no tacos in hell. There is no partying. You don't get to go down there and hang out with Satan. There is eternal conscious torment for the rest of eternity. There is no way out. But God so loved you that 2,000 years ago, he sent his son so that he can redeem you and reconcile you, which means he's going to bring you back into relationship with the Father. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 6, pray ye in this manner, our Father. He said, I'm going to bring you back into relationship with my dad. And your dad's going to be my dad. My dad's going to be your dad. And we're going to be one together. And I am giving he gave his life so that you could have life. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that makes sure you're on the right side of the ark. Because as Peter says, don't you think for a second that judgment's not coming. Judgment is coming. And what happened to Ananias and Sapphira is real. It is fearful. And it should make you meditate deeply upon your own soul and your own heart. And so that would be my prayer from this story. And what I take from this ultimately is God is protecting his church. And don't mess with the church. Don't. And I'm not talking about like, don't, you know, like, oh, we're great. No, like, the church is his bride. And I would say that even to people within the church. You better watch what you say. I'm learning that more and more because I get angry. I get upset just like everybody else, and I shoot off my mouth. But those who he died for and those who are his, I'd be very careful what you say. I'd be very careful how you treat those that are his.
Yeah.
because he is, I'll just say this scripture, vengeance is his.
Yeah.
Vengeance is his.
It's like, Lord, don't let us be like that, or Matthew 7. I keep hearing that, those two different places where not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of the Father. You know, that right there is another one that's always something that is on the standing of your, Lord, don't let us be like that. Lord, don't let us be where we don't know you.
Yeah.
Because some of these people, I mean, most of these people are called. They're called by God, but they never choose him. They only like the things of God. They only like the accolades. They only like the blessings. They only like the... They never get real with God. They're never choosing him to be number one in their life. They just like the names, the prophesy, cast out demons. They love all these things. They love all the attributes, but they do not ever know him. So,
amen. All right, we're going to do our trivia question for this break. We got to go to the hard break. Excuse me. What woman upon the death of her son, the king of Judah, murdered her grandchildren and usurped the kingdom? We've done this one before. I know we've done this one before, but I'm seeing, do you remember? So I'm out. This is a challenge out there. What woman upon the death of her son, the king of Judah, murdered her grandchildren and usurped the kingdom? We'll be right back here after the break with Lion by Elevation Worship. Let the lion roar on this New Year's Eve. Amen. This December 31st, 2025. You know what? I won't see you all till the next year. Oh, I'm done till next year. Amen.
That's a dad joke.
We are going to be out tomorrow and Friday. No broadcast. We'll be doing some sermons and then coming up here. And I'm really excited for what this new year holds for Mornings with Box 2 Radio.
Amen.
Here's a couple of prayer requests. All right. I want to say this before. We do have an answer. Miss Kay Decker got it. Also, Gary Cox got it, but Kay got it first. It was Athalia who murdered her grandchildren. What a grandma.
Evil lady.
So congratulations to Miss Kay for getting that and for Gary getting that in there too. But some of you all responded on social media that one time about wanting video. Now, we are definitely in the talks about how to do that, how to make it work. But I need y'all to pray for something for me. If we're going to do that, we have to have a producer. And so, because there's no way I can handle everything and host the broadcast. So either two things are going to happen. I just produce and do buttons and video, and Hannah takes the charge on hosting by herself. And I just don't talk anymore, which, you know, I'm cool with because I talk a lot already.
I would do it, but I don't think that should be it.
Which I'm not prideful, so I don't think I have to talk all the time. So I'm more than happy to back out and just push buttons and produce. But it is a...
I think we need to believe God for increase.
Yeah, we need...
So either somebody that could fully do video.
Yeah.
So my question is this. Does it have to be somebody that already knows, or can we train them?
Oh, we can definitely train them. I can train anybody. So somebody that's willing to... We need a producer for this broadcast in the morning who's willing to... It's probably 6:45 to 9:15 kind of deal. And so somebody that may be able to give those times. My son Jackson he don't get up well.
Riley's looking for a job.
We are looking, if we're going to go video, and even if we didn't go video, it'd be nice to have a producer. And so, but we are with you. We would be interested in going video as well. And kind of mixing it in there, being able to give some of their avenues for this broadcast to go out. The only thing is, we'd actually have to fix our hair and not wear pajamas. But that very rarely happens except Monday mornings. But it is. We are really excited about this new year, and we hope that you guys are too. And we can't wait for what's in store. Yeah. Maybe you're a pastor out there, and specifically in the Owensboro area. We would love to meet more pastors from the Owensboro area. So if you are a listener in the 98.3 range and you pastor a church, or you're a Sunday school teacher in a church, or you're a worship leader, whatever it looks like, please get in touch with us, 270-230-6337. We have some tremendous connections in the Hinesville area and the Glasgow area and this area, but we want and praying for more connections with churches in the Owensboro area. So if that's you guys, please don't hesitate to contact us. Maybe you're interested in having a program, getting the word of God that he has given you, and maybe broaden the platform a little bit. We would love to engage with you in that Owensboro area specifically. And we're going to be coming to you guys soon. We're going to try to get involved out there. Maybe you'll see us at some of their Friday nights on the river when the weather gets better and they open those back up. I think they still do that Friday nights where they used to do like a Friday night get together and they would just go on the river and all the businesses would go down there and radio stations and stuff like that. I don't know what it looks like.
I've never been.
I don't think it's every Friday night. I think it was kind of like what they do at East Main here in Litchfield.
Yeah.
We're going to come to Owensboro area soon and try to connect with some people down there. And we're prayerful to get in connection with some churches. So if you're a church in that region of Owensboro, we really want to connect with you. So again, 270-230-6337 is the number to text, or you can call us at the station at 270-257-2689. Oh, man. But this new year's going to be great. Okay. All right, Jacob, you said you had something you want to say when you come back in.
Well, it was something I had found, and I read it, and it was so powerful. It hit home with me and a couple other people.
Did you share it?
I did.
I think I found it.
Have y'all spoke? Y'all ain't said
no,
it.
No, I've not said it.
I
shared it with somebody.
Since this is the last day of the year, I just got to speak this, because this was so profound for me. Oh, okay.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is so good. So I'm trying to do this. I know my voice is a little hoarse, but it's a prophetic word I'd gotten from somebody I follow. But it says, I heard the Holy Spirit say 2025 was the year of digging ditches. It did not look like breakthrough. It did not look holy. It did not feel like the overflow. It looked like obedience in obscurity, preparation without proof, labor without immediate reward. Just as Elijah declared in 2 Kings 3, make this valley full of ditches. No rain was promised. No wind was heard. No visible sign accompanied the command, only a word from heaven demanding faith. 2025 was the year of God asked his people to prepare for something they could not yet see. That hit home with me there. He asked for room to be made. He asked for faith that would work the ground before the cloud ever appeared. Many dug while they were tired. Many dug while disappointed. Many dug while wondering if the water would ever come. Yet heaven was watching every shovel strike the ground. You were digging in places that felt barren. You were carving out space while your strength was being drained. You were obeying while others were resting. It felt costly, slow, repetitive, and unseen. Yet every ditch was recorded in heaven. What felt like repetition was actually excavation. What felt like resistance was resistance being removed. What felt like silence was God measuring the capacity of the vessels. For the ditches determine the depth of the outpouring. 2025 was not a wasted year. It was a foundational year. Roots went down. Pride was stripped. Dependence on human strength was broken. Faith was refined until obedience no longer required explanation. And now the Lord is saying, you dug in the valleys. Now watch me fill them. For what heaven is about to release will not be small, and it requires prepared ground to hold it. Just as the valleys were suddenly filled with water without rain or without rain or wind, so the next season come, not by striving, not by hype, but by divine release. What you could not manufacture, God is about to supply. What you could not force, God is about to pour out. This next move will surprise those who stop digging. But those who obeyed in 2025 will recognize the sound before it arrives. What heaven is about to release will require maturity to steward it, humility to carry it, and death to sustain it. So do not despise this year of digging, for it made room for glory. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, you dug when it was dry. You prepared when it was costly. Now get ready, because the water is coming. To me, that was just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
About so many, you know, Aaron's even talked about it, you know, 2023, you know, we had a move that it just, God was moving, but he put it on pause because I feel like he had to prepare us. He had to get us to a place where, and I just loved it, that we had to dig the ditches. We had to prepare the places. Were we perfect? Probably not. But I think there were some times that we really We have to prepare the ground, and we've had to prepare it, and we keep preparing it until God pours it out. And I do believe that. I know I'm trying not to be that weird one that tries to come up with a name for every year, but I said the Lord kept showing me 2026. And you add up all the numbers, 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 6 is 8. I believe it's a year of the new beginning. I believe God is going to do things, new beginnings to a lot of people. It may not apply to everybody, but I do believe that there's a year of new beginnings. And I believe that God is starting, he's going to do things that we've never seen before. He's going to do things in us that maybe where I feel like that scripture says, nor has seen, nor ear has heard, or entered into the heart of man, that God wants what he has for us and what he wants to do.
That scripture came to me yesterday.
That's great. I think it's confirmation. I think God is just, he's ready to pour out some stuff, and we just have to be a heart ready and laid down, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't be full of pride. We can't be full of ourselves. We have to lay it all down.
Yeah.
So
I think the Lord was showing me that yesterday because, like, the importance of digging, like, we can always dig deeper. Even the ones that this post is talking about, we have to keep digging deeper. And letting him, like, work on us because, like, yesterday, for example, I think the Lord is teaching me that, like, not whenever he starts to move, whenever amazing things start to happen or prayers get answered, not to get, I guess, off the watchman wall. Like, not have an eye out for how the enemy is going to try to attack you personally and get you off of where you need to be. Because I felt like yesterday there was, like, so many answered prayers that came to me, and, like, the Lord was just showing himself, and I was having, like, such an amazing day. Joy of the Lord more than I've had in a long time.
Amen.
And I was just seeing, like, the day just started off great on the broadcast, and I just see so many things that he's doing. And it was just, like, a spiritually amazing day. But then towards the end of the day, like, the enemy came right in a place I didn't expect and attacked, and I wasn't ready for it. Like, I wasn't ready for it at all, like, in my own heart. Yeah. And then things started to come out that I didn't even realize. I was like, how could the day end up like this when it was just so great?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How could I end up having all, you know, having this attack? But I felt like the Lord is showing me, like, you can celebrate and be in the joy of the Lord, but still be paying attention to your reactions, what you're feeling, your emotions. Like, I will help you to be mindful of those things. And so I think that's what he was teaching me. But I think that's part of, like, those people in that post who had been digging.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of why it's important to dig and let him chip away and go through the hard things with him. Because, like, that post was saying, like, you were doing the hard work and it didn't seem like anything was changing around you. Like, you weren't seeing answered prayers. You weren't seeing all these things. But you were making room for what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I guess, to still keep that mindset, even though if the rain comes, to still keep digging.
Yeah. One thing that I really dealt with this year, and the Lord's been dealing with me very harshly about it, is to trust him in all things. And I know that's one of the hardest things in my walk that I try to figure everything out myself. And when things get thrown at me, I just, like, sometimes I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we all get like that, but the Lord's really been dealing with me. He says, what's coming, you have to trust me. What you're about to see on the earth, you have to trust me. That it is written, and I've already got a plan, and I already have a place and action for you and your family and your people. And I just feel like, God, I said, we shouldn't be shaken like we are sometimes, but we are. I mean, the boat gets rocked sometimes. And, you know, maybe a bad health report. You know, I've got a friend that I work with. He went to the doctor for a cough, and they ended up finding cancer. You know, can we trust him? If that's us, you know. I know people are like, well, we don't speak that. I'm just saying, if it happens, if the bad report happens, or the bad unexpected bill, or the job loss, or something happens, this and that, or your family dysfunctions, or whatever gets thrown our way, do we trust him in all things? And he's been dealing with me this year, and I'm like, God, I want to be that one. I want to be like Paul and all these others that came before us. I mean, they're sitting there being bowled to death, about to die, and they trusted you. You know, I want to trust you in all things, not just my finances. I want to trust you with my health, my life, my kids. I told Kirsten that. I said, quit worrying about the kids so much. We offered them up to the Lord, and we pray for them. He will take care of them. And I said, I said that Braden's, you know, adult now, but I said, we still pray for him because we gave him to the Lord. I said, we said, here, Lord, we give his life to you. You know, you gave us him, and we raised him the way we thought we were supposed to raise him, the best we could. And, Lord, I just give him up to you. And I know I trust you with him. I trust you with my kids. I trust you with my wife. And I think whatever comes our way, we have to say, God, is this part of the plan? You know, it may be disrupted. It might be interruptions and disruptions in your life. But I believe that we have to trust him. And that's one of the hardest things is, I think a lot of people have things happen. You know, you see these people who are on fire for Jesus and they get blindsided and then they just leave the faith. They're done. God wouldn't allow that to happen. I'm done. I don't want to have nothing to do with him anymore. And I'm like, sometimes it's the trials and tribulations in our faith that make us closer to him.
Yeah.
Because you learn not to trust in yourself, but you trust in him.
And we have the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because that's what's really, through all of this, it's on my heart. Like, through what we read in Acts today. Like, that is really, we truly need the fear of the Lord. And it comes from what Aaron was talking about earlier, coming back to the cross. Like, he was saying early, like right away this morning, that every time he sees the cross, he wants to have a tear. Like, he wants to tear up when he sees the cross.
Yeah.
Because of our hearts being so softened.
Yeah.
And I just pray that the hardened hearts, it is not good to have a hard heart.
No, it's not.
And I think that's part of the digging, like even in that word. When you're digging, you're breaking up the fallow ground.
True.
And my prayer used to be all the time, and I still, if it fits the situation, I pray, Lord, soften the heart. Break up the fallow ground.
Yeah.
Soften the heart, because if our heart is hardened, then we won't receive anything. We won't receive correction from the Lord. We won't be able to, we'll go into a church gathering and be distracted and not receive anything.
True.
It'll be like the seeds falling on the stony ground, or the parables where it never took root. And that's my fear with this generation, is that there's so many that their hearts are hardened. And that's why we see such distraction and all these things. It's because nothing's taken root. But I pray that when this rain comes that this word's talking about, I just pray that through prayer, through the presence of God, through whatever it takes, Lord, that there is some part of people that are hardened that is softened by the rain.
Yeah.
And that some kind of seed of truth is able to take root.
Amen.
Because it's a scary thing to think about, that people's heart are so hard and there's no fear of the Lord.
I think sometimes when I read that, I think about our worship team, how we just want God to move so mad, you know. And I'm not trying to say we don't know what it's going to look like, but then there's moments when you're praying, and I told some of the musicians, I said, do y'all not feel that sometimes you'll just be playing and, you know, we're getting through the songs, and then you get to this point and it's like something happens. I may be crazy, but there's this point where I feel like, oh, something. I start playing like way different. Like I just feel something take over me. Like, is the Holy Spirit just saying, play this, do this. And the song shifts and the atmosphere changes. And I'm not trying to say it has to be a beat or a, I just feel like God use our gift, whatever it may be.
If we let him.
Yeah. If you'll let him. And I think that the Lord said, keep creating the atmosphere, because eventually that's the atmosphere everybody's going to run to, because everything else is going to be like chaos. and they're going to look for the atmosphere that has the peace, that has the presence of God. They're going to look for that because so much stuff anymore is lack of presence. There's no presence in it. And he says they're going to look for the presence because it's going to be hard to find. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much fake and artificial stuff that they want the real authenticity of the presence of God. And those who had stewarded it and kept pushing, even then they didn't see the results or the fruit of it. I believe that there's coming a place and there's coming a time, just like with that prophecy, that there's going to be a head-on collision and people are going to be like, I got to have that presence. Mm-hmm. I want the presence. I got to go where it's at.
Yeah.
And they're going to seek after that presence. They're going to leave places that don't have it. There's going to leave Ichabod places where the presence is departed. They're going to leave those places. Lord, let us never be that. Always, I feel like God, always let us be the place that holds and hosts the presence of God.
Yeah.
And that we're led by Him, that we're led by what He has us to do. Lord, let us never be like these people who think we have need of nothing, like the church of Laodicea. Let us be like we were Sunday morning when we prayed before service and we almost went over time praying through the service, and it was like something shifted in our worship. And I believe it released something even in all of us when we were worshiping Sunday through that prayer. I wish we could have had the whole worship team. And it was like we couldn't stop praying.
Yeah.
And I believe that's going to start happening more and more. It's going to disrupt service. It's going to disrupt our lives, our normality. We're not going to be able to stop because there's such a presence there that comes upon us and it's breathing in on us because we're allowing ourselves to be poured out. And I think it's like God saying, I'm pouring into you, you better pour it back out.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a continual process.
I think it's when Miss Elizabeth said, it primes the atmosphere for prophecy. So,
amen.
That worship, music and an anointing through music and sound and song, it primes the atmosphere.
Amen.
And I agree with that. We see that with David and Saul.
Oh, yeah.
And we see it in battle, you know, with worship and the walls of Jericho coming down and the sound being released.
Before they went to battle, they sent out the musicians.
The battle of the Midianites with Gideon, there was the sound of the trumpets. And we just see it over and over that there is significance. I know a lot of people say that there shouldn't be with worship and music, but there is significance in the sense of the spiritual realm and coming into the presence of God with music. There really is. And I do, I agree. I think part of it is too, when we start to tune in with the Spirit and we start to turn to the Lord, like we start to run to Him instead of other things. So like if we're coming in with, you know, I feel like most of us should have burdens, like not burdens that separate us from the Lord, but we should care about what's going on around us. Like we should care about, and it should bother us. Like I was thinking about that last night. Like if someone in our life is hurting or away from the Lord, or if, you know, if we're struggling with something, it should bother us. Like our sin should bother us. Or the people around us that are, you know, not having the fear of the Lord, the condition of our churches should bother us.
True.
And when it does, it will push us to a place of coming into His presence because we know there's nowhere else we can go for help.
Yeah.
Like there's nowhere else we can go for change and for breakthrough. And I think that was such on my heart last night because I was like, the season of just doing life as normal and just doing our routine things or giving, you know, just doing what we want to do and ignoring the world burning around us has to be over.
Mm-hmm.
Like where we get so caught up in our own desires and what we want to do and our own problems. And we forget like what's happening around us.
True.
And I just prayed last night that I need to go back and listen to it. Cause I actually never got to, finish it. We listened to it on the way to vacation last year, but that sermon that Aaron encouraged everybody to listen to by David Wilkerson, The Anguish.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's great.
That just came to me last night that we need to return to that. Like we have to have the heart of the Father in order to receive what He has for us. And the only way, it's going to come with a cost because we can still have the joy of the Lord. That's everlasting, but there will be like an anguish. We have to be burdened for souls, burdened for the people around us.
I was just thinking, let us be the extension of your hand. Let our hearts be full of you, that when we look at people and we care for people, that they feel the heartbeat of heaven. Let them see when they see us out here, when we're singing, that it's the presence of God overtakes them, because it ain't about us. It's about him. That old song, it's not old, but it's in when I was growing up, I heard it. And it was always called, I'm Coming Back to the Heart of Worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you. And I think that's where we've lost it. We made worship about us and not him. And we got to get back to that place. And we got to get back to where we know that he's going to release something. We come with expectation. Use your gift. You could take the best sounding team and have no spirit, and it'd be nothing. You can have the best sound, and you can manipulate the people for a little while, but it will not sustain. But when you take a group of people who are sold out, a worship team who says, I'll just give it to the Lord, and they could be mediocre musicians and be like the Spirit of God just moved through them. And I believe that's what God's about to do. Mm-hmm. He's taking that professionalism and he's saying, hey, if you can't use this for my glory, I'm going to give it to those who will.
Yeah. Yeah. He gives and takes away. There's somebody, as I think we're about to get our guest on with us this morning, but there was a testimony somebody gave recently that I heard of, that they didn't use the gift that God gave. They were trying to use their gift for the world instead of for him. And God humbled them by making them, like, taking away their talent and their anointing.
Wow.
And they literally went from being able to, like, win karaoke contests to not even being able to carry a tune. Like, they literally weren't able to carry a tune because the Lord took it away. And so I think that's just part of that is, like you said, giving your gift to the Lord, using it for him, or not using it at all.
Amen.
Amen. All right, well, we have Brother Todd Bailey on with us. We're so excited to see just what the Lord's speaking to him and his thoughts and prayers going into the new year. So how are you doing, Brother Todd?
It's so good to be on. I'm doing well, and I'm just excited about what the Lord's already done, what he is doing, and what he's about ready to do, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Amen. That's been something that just keeps coming up with those that I'm praying with, or just in my own spirit as well. Like, you know, I think it's just drilled in us to think about, like, well, what's going to happen at the start of the new year? But for some reason, it's lately here, especially this week on the radio, has just been so amazing in the Lord's presence of, like, start today, Lord. Like, don't wait. We don't want you to wait until January 1st. Like, go ahead and start moving in us today, because you're like you said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So.
Yeah, well, that's the main thing I have on my heart is, what if you were stranded on an island, or you got lost and you forgot what day of the week it was, what month it was? How would you know when to make a new commitment or resolution, or, you know, the Bible says today is the day the Lord has made, so we can choose to rejoice and be glad in it. So from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. So forget, I really think you got to forget about the calendar. Mm-hmm. And you just got to start focusing on what God's telling us to do, because only about 9%, 8%, I forget what the last one is, New Year's resolutions even come to pass. You got to make a commitment to serve the Lord, and because when you do, then your credibility's on the line. You make an obligation. But all resolution is agreeing with somebody that a course of action needs to be taking place, but there's no commitment to it. And I think that's what we got to do every day, is make a commitment in our hearts and put ourselves on the line. And you know, because character's just doing the right thing when no one's looking. If people are going to talk about you, whether you do it or not, you might as well just do it.
Amen.
And you know, it's like the ant, a little here, a little there, it adds up after a while.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I believe that that's what the Lord is speaking, that it choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
And we know that, I mean, scripture has always made it clear to us that we can't be lukewarm. We can't, you know, we can't serve two masters. It clearly tells us that in scripture. But as we've been talking today, and as I it's just been on my heart about the fear of the Lord returning to the house, and how judgment will happen in the house first. That right. If we don't humble ourselves, then we will be humbled by the Lord. And I think as time grows, you know, every day we know we're getting closer to the end because it's another day.
Right.
And so we won't try to predict when that is. But all that to say, is that something that, you know, has been on your heart, and something as you're traveling and speaking, and how does that look like, and what's the Lord been speaking to you about just the fear of the Lord returning to his people, and in that regard?
Well, I think it goes back to the fear of the Lord is just to hate evil, pride, arrogance, and the forward mouth do I hate, mm-hmm. in Proverbs. And I think it's a more, like you said, it's a more of a reverence of God. And if you really reverence somebody, even though you might not, see, some people, like, I might go into a place where it might be the President of the United States, not that I have lately, but, or if I go into where the governor, I might not totally agree with him, but I reverence the position of who he is. There's a lot of people that don't like God, but the key is just have a reverence of God. And the fear is not the same as the fear of man, but as I travel, I think a lot of times when I talk to people, I just share with them that one day you will give an account for your life. One day you're going to have to answer for what you did. And it's not the fact that you want to put guilt, shame, condemnation, or even regret in their lives. You want them to have a reckoning, an understanding. And I'll tell you the words that keep coming to me lately is due diligence. It's time that we do our due diligence for ourselves. Take up our cross. Quit Googling the latest prophecy, the latest word. Quit Googling and doing this. Quit. Instead of going to the phone, go to the throne. Instead of going to the aspirin bottle, go to the anointing bottle. Acknowledge him in all of our ways. Get back to where he is our source. He's divine. We're the branch. A branch always has two ends to it. It's always connected to the life source, but it also produces what it represents and who it's abiding in. But if you don't fear the Lord, all you're going to do is you're going to deny the power thereof. Not that you don't deny that God has power. You're just going to not deny God's ability to produce in you that you can't produce yourself. And if you try to do it, all you're going to do is end up producing artificial fruit. Matthew 5 says, in verse 14, let your light shine before men. But the verse before that says you are the salt of the earth. Salt and light are two things that transforms and changes every environment it comes in contact with. And so therefore, we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed and changed because we were created in his image. But too many people today are fearing what man thinks about them. That's why we have so many filters on social media. You meet somebody in person, you don't even, they don't even look the same. Why? Because they don't like who they are, because they're looking at a piece of glass that shows them a reflection. But if you get in the Bible, it's a mirror that will show you the image that you were created after and the likeness. And I think that's the big thing, is that we're more concerned about what somebody else is thinking than what God is really going to think. Because at the end, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It's what he thinks. So.
Yeah, we don't stand. We won't stand before one another. We'll stand before him.
Well, I'll tell you what. Have I? I don't know if I read this or not, but if I'm gabbing, let me know. But because I'm so excited to be on, because I did have something. I was wondering if I could read this. It only takes about 25 seconds. If it's okay.
Oh yeah, anything that you have prepared, bring it on, Brother Todd.
Well, I don't know if I've shared this before or not, but it's worth repeating. It's been said that people don't really want a Savior, but we want enough Jesus to get to heaven, but not enough Jesus to change us on earth. We want enough Jesus to inspire us, but not enough Jesus to transform us. We want just enough Jesus to bless our plans, but not enough Jesus to change them. We want just enough Jesus to wear a cross, but not enough Jesus to carry one. We want just enough Jesus to be inspired on Sunday, but not enough Jesus that it makes a difference between Monday through Saturday. I've come to discover if our Jesus never confronts us, never challenges us, never changes us, that's not the Jesus that I know in the Bible. I wrote that down that somebody said a while back, and I don't know why that just really hit me.
Wow.
And that goes back to preference or conviction. You can either say never mind or nevertheless. So it's Amen. Or in the fear of the Lord, you can bring that in.
That is so, I love how you brought up the fear of man, and then with that, just the desire for sin, because like you said, it's turning away from sin and unrighteousness, because fear of the Lord is knowing that, you know, we can't continue in sin and continue with the Lord. Like, we have to choose who we're going to serve. And I love that. I think that's really true and, you know, very relevant with the wearing the cross and not wanting to carry it. Because we've seen that. I've felt just an apathy in the spirit, like a,
right
in the church, like in my own life. And then as a corporate, you know, I just feel it spiritually that there's an apathy. And there's that strong temptation to be lazy in our relationship with the Lord. And I think a lot of that is our culture, too, in America, because you're sitting there reading that, and I'm like, that is like American Christianity to a T, that
right.
passage that you just read.
Well, we need coffee to get awake in the morning. We got to take stuff to put us to bed. But then we're selling stuff, we're buying stuff to cause our body to be changed and more healthy. But what are we doing to our spirit, man? What are we doing with our relationship with God? I found out if you take care of the root, you get the fruit. Mm-hmm. So I think it goes back to taking up of our cross every day, like you said. It's seeking God first and putting our hand to our own plow instead of always asking for prayer on social media or somewhere. I'm not saying it's wrong. You know, 800 emojis praying is not going to get your prayer answered. People got to sit down and learn to pray for themselves, because you can Google how to pray, but that doesn't mean you know how to pray. Mm-hmm. We've got to get back to, here's a couple of things. One is, like you said, the fear of God. I think we got to get fear of God. We just got to hate evil. That's the bottom line. You got to hate evil. Learn to say no without feeling guilty about it. Some
Amen.
People say, what do you mean, no? I said, what's in the letter? It's under the letter N in the dictionary. I don't know what else to tell you. It's no. Set boundaries and keep them. And people say, well, you're one of those. And, you know, some people say, what do you mean one of those? And then I have to literally describe what they're trying to call me. I said, so you mean one of those who believe that God is real, his word is final, I go, yeah. I said, well, then I am one of those. See, I'm not ashamed. If Jesus died for me, then I should live for him.
Amen.
And, you know, and every day you got to do this. You know, like this morning I got up, the sun's rising here in Colorado. Well, the scripture came to me, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. And I was going to read one other thing I had on my heart. If
yeah,
you got
go
a moment.
Ahead. We still have
really
quite a bit of time.
Yeah, I really believe we put too much emphasis on, like, New Year's resolutions or, you know, like Easter. And I'm not diminishing any of that. It represents the resurrection of our Lord. We know that the new beginnings and all this. But I was thinking about some things about how we are trying to get what we've already got. We're trying to become somebody we already are. Mm-hmm. And the Lord has taken me back to where he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a now God. He lives in one eternal now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Those who come to God must believe that he is. He is the great I am. He's not the great I'm going to be or the great I was.
Amen.
If you don't believe a certain part of God, you literally are taking the name of the Lord in vain, because you're making that part of God useless to you. But with that being said, Now, jump in if I'm gabbing on you, but here's what I feel like the Lord's telling me. He said, I'm still now God. Why are you waiting to a certain time? Why are you waiting on me? Now, the word wait, actually, in the book of Acts means to expect with a view of being shown favor upon. Now, I know there's times in Isaiah, I believe, where we got to wait upon the Lord. But a lot of things that we're waiting on, he's already done. Have you ever heard of the word tetelestai?
Sounds familiar.
Okay, tetelestai is the sixth of the seven sayings of Christ. And oh, okay. I started sharing this recently, and the word tetelestai, it's T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. So it's T-E-T-E-L-E-S-T-A-I. It's only mentioned one time in the four Gospels, John 19:30. Well, listen to this. It means four things. And I'm going to read this. It will only take a couple, about 30 seconds. Tetelestai is a word in business that means the debt is fully paid. Well, in the court system or justice system, it's a sentence that's been fully served. In a military term, it means the battle has been fully won. So when Jesus died on the cross and said it is finished, he says your debt of sin has been fully paid. The sentence for punishment and judgment against us for what we deserve has been fully served. Mm-hmm. The battle against the devil and sin has been fully won. And the last one is the victory has been won. The time of new beginnings has become. So he did away with the old covenant to establish a new and better covenant. He didn't do away with it. He established a new one. He said it is finished and closed. Wow. He said basically the cross is the great divide in human history. When he cried out, it is finished, he was shouting that the old covenant, the old has ended and the new covenant has begun. Now, it doesn't mean he did away with it because heaven and earth will pass away, but these words won't. But one more thing. He said when he said it is finished on the cross, listen to this. He tore the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Did you know that the outer court was called the gate at one time? The gate was called the way. Then you went into the inner court. The door was called the truth. And then right before you went into the Holy of Holies, the veil was called the life. So when Jesus went and said, cried out to Telestai, saying, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have paid it in full. Stop trying to get what you've already got. Stop trying to become somebody you already are. Because his death sentence become our birth certificate.
Amen.
Now watch this. When he cried out, the Telestai, that's John 14:6, basically, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through by me. So when he did, the outer court, the gate, was called the way, the door was called the truth, and the veil was called the life. So what he did was, when he said to Telestai, saying, I've already completed it. There's nothing much more you have to do except believe what I said and obey my word, and you'll start having days of heaven upon earth. Sure, you're going to have problems and persecutions and afflictions and all these things. But know this, I have overcome the world, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I think a lot of times we're always trying to reach for something. We're always waiting for something. We're always resetting, recalculating. And the Holy Spirit does that in us. But I think we should start walking in the fullness of who we are now in Christ, realizing that in Hebrews 4:16, when we say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, we come right to the throne of God's grace to receive mercy for our failures and find grace for what we need. So anyway, that's what the Lord's been dealing with me about. It's time to start walking in what you did. You don't need to make a New Year's resolution. You need to make a commitment. Don't wait till next week to start something. No, today's the day the Lord has made. Choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. It includes everything you need in life, prosperity, healing, protection, safety, deliverance, everything. And I think sometimes, you know, we're fighting from victory when we're fighting for victory when we should be fighting from victory.
Yes.
So
that
I'll
is
shut
such...
up now.
Well, we are going to end a few minutes early, so we have about like 7 minutes left or so, six.
Okay.
But man, that is such an encouraging word for those like
I'll just be honest. I struggle with like failure, like feeling like a failure all the time and battling that. And then the Lord reminds me, like, it's not like He lives inside of me, and that it's not me. It's, I'm not the one responsible for everything. I'm not the one performing works. Like, He's the one working in me and through me. So I need to stop thinking of myself. What I'm, the condemnation is making us think of ourselves more and of Him less. And that is such a good word for people who struggle with that, or who are trying to just keep starting over and go back to the beginning. When the Lord says a righteous person falls and gets back up, He didn't say a righteous person has to keep going back to the beginning of your walk with Him. And that is such an encouraging word.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I don't know. I was doing a study on Paul, and it said that Paul was, I'm trying to find my notes here. It says that Paul was actually in one of the prisons, and it says that he came to a place in Philippians when he was writing a letter to Philippians. I don't know if you know this, but the book of Philippians is called the Epistle of Joy. It was, it was written and called that because of Paul's attitude in prison. And it literally said that he was in either Rome or Ephesus in 62 A.D., writing this letter to the church at Philippi, which is the same body of Christ, you and I. And it says that Paul literally, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. It says literally when he was in the prison, he said he had to make a decision. It was, he said, when that word count, I count not myself. It's a Greek word which means mathematically count, calculate, or tabulate, or come, or one to come to a conclusion. Paul had to come to a conclusion when he was writing Philippians 3:13-14, where he said, I count not myself to apprehend one thing, but forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward to those things which are before. So in other words, Paul had to make an assessment of his life. He said, okay, am I going to focus on what God planned for my life versus what I've actually accomplished in my life? Am I going to go back to the regret, the shame, the guilt, the condemnation? Because he's preaching to the very people that he killed their loved ones or their children or their spouses from.
That's
He came to this final point where he says, forgetting those things, that means to lose something from your mind and get rid of it. Because how many knows that we, a lot of people let the devil live rent-free in their mind.
Yeah.
And we've got to put these things past and keep our hand to the plow. And the key is keep moving forward.
Forward. Yeah. One who puts their hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit. Yeah. Let's keep looking forward. Amen. You have something, Jacob? Before we have
Jacob,
more minutes.
Hey, brother. I didn't know you was there. I would have shut up more.
No. He's been listening.
I've been listening. And we've been talking about new beginnings and just different things. I feel like the Lord is about to. A prophetic word that I released earlier today during the broadcast, and all your stuff is saying is just all lining right up to with everything. So
praise God. Well, what's ahead of us is a lot better behind us, but now it might not be a bed of roses, but if you're in Christ,
that's right,
you're closer. Paul at the end of his life, here's the one true sign of a believer at the end time. One of them is every time you read the last days, end of days, or the second coming of Christ, you'll see one characteristic of believers. It's steadfastness, and then the other one, when great persecution comes, it's joy.
Yeah. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, people say, what do you mean? I said, well, even with perseverance, the snails made it to the ark. So, you know, you got to get busy. So anyway, I'm kind of gabbing this morning, but actually I'm pretty excited to be on here.
Me too. It's been a little while since we've got you on.
Go ahead, Jacob. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just thinking of, I just kept hearing prepping for rain. As a farmer preps his field for the rain for his crops, I feel like that's what we're about to do. We're prepping the fields. And Lord, whatever you have, whatever you want to do, just do it, because we're prepping for rain.
There's a big difference between a spectator and a participator, and we've got to break up our own fallow ground.
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge Him in all your ways. Holy Spirit, I need you to help me in this situation. Help me break up my fallow ground. Amen. I'm willing to do whatever needs to be done. And it's like going to the gym the first couple weeks, man. You're sore as ever. But after a while, you feel a lot better because, why? Your body's adapting to the conditioning.
Amen.
Most people like the vending machine. That's why they don't change.
It's easy. It's
the
easy.
The vending machine.
It takes your money, though, and it doesn't do any good for you.
It's
the
like the
machine.
Enemy. Oh. It presents it so pretty and then takes from you instead of giving to
right.
you. Well, thank
right.
you. Thank you so much. I just love your way with words that the Lord has gifted right. you with to just be able to bring out truth in a way that's understandable, almost like parable. I think of parables when I think about play on words and things like that. It just helps us to really understand what the Lord's trying to speak to us and remember it. It's a good way to remember it. And so we appreciate that. And
I appreciate you
just
all.
Pray that you continue, the Lord continues to equip you, anoint you, appoint you, those daily interruptions and
Amen.
God connections.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much again for joining us and hope to have you again in the new year.
I appreciate it. Can I give you one stat real quick to encourage the older crowd like me out there? They came across the most productive decades in the person's life. The most productive decades. First is 60 to 70 years old. The second is 70 to 80. The third is 50 to 60. So in other words, Jesus is coming. Get busy.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Well, Brother Todd, blessings in the new year, my friend.
Yes, brother.
You
and,
too.
And God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you all again so much.
Thank you. All right. Well, a couple minutes to close out the old year. Another year finished on Mornings with Box 2 Radio, and just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you all for being amazing listeners, amazing family. Prayer warriors, and we are just excited for what this new year holds. Amen. We are very excited mm-hmm. about that. New programmers prank coming into the network. And you know, some of you all love Brother Ernie. Brother Ernie has faced some tremendous health battles lately, him and his wife, and for a season right now they're going to be going off the air, so we're going to lose Brother Ernie for a little while, but prayerful he's going to be back on with us soon. Just a lot of health issues and stuff like that going on right now, and equipment issues. And so be praying for Ernie and Miss Mary as they venture into New Year's too, and as they navigate the new health challenges. And and so we're praying for them. We'll miss them on the air with us, and but prayerfully they'll be back on with us soon.
Amen. And, so, and pray the Lord would bless them for being faithful, a part of Box 2 Radio.
Amen. And looking into the new year, be praying for us, praying that God would direct the right people into our paths of producing and technology, and that we could go to a
put us in the right places
level.
And that none of us are taking up space that he has for somebody else either, that he would just position us how he wants us.
Amen.
And new listeners that can chime in and comment through the week and interact with us. I love getting to interact with you guys. It makes the whole thing just,
it
sets it apart unlike any other station.
We need encouragement too, you know. I think just a little text to Hannah and Aaron when they're here, or even when y'all text me on Wednesdays, you know, it's encouragement that, you know, you keep going and keep pushing and you keep speaking, and you know, even if it's not a question, it's just encouragement. It's awesome.
And I want to say real quick that sometimes it is hard to respond right away to every text that gets sent in, especially if we're like really in a zone and going through scripture and all that. But know that we read, even I'll speak for myself. If I don't respond, I read every single text, and I really appreciate the text of like your all's insight, or maybe sometimes we'll read it over the air, but we won't respond to it and text back. But it really does add so much to the morning whenever you guys send in scriptures and comments, mm-hmm. and we love it. We
absolutely
truly love it.
Absolutely. And happy New Year's to you, Miss Brenda, and happy New Year's to those that are part of the Box 2 Radio family. We love you. We bless you. I see no better way than let's leave this new year with prayer, giving God thanks for this past year. So, Lord, we thank you for every opportunity that we've had to come on here and share the word of God, to be in your presence, to let iron sharpen iron, and to stretch each other in thoughts and understandings. And Lord, I ask you for great revival in our own hearts and our own minds over this coming year, Lord, that in our families and in our health and in our money and all the things surrounding there, Lord, that it would be surrendered fully to you and we would trust you in all things. And we pray 2026, not for the sake of just cliche sayings, but God, that it would be one of the most glorious years we've ever encountered for souls and more souls. Father, we just give you praise for everything you've done in this year, for every soul that was touched that we don't even know about, for every testimony that's come forth, for every prayer that's been answered. God, we give you praise, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we love you guys. We bless you. Until next year, go and share the gospel with the hurting, the broken, and whatever you've done. If you've got breath in your lungs, the door is still open, my friend. Call upon his name, and he will answer. We love you, and we bless you. Until next year, be blessed.